Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Oley Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Oley Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Oley Insider. We're happy to have you this week. We are on episode 15, and there are just 26 days left of this legislative session. So I'm here with my partner, Jay Fratt.
Hey, hey, what's up?
And we are going to be doing an update episode this time around. There's a lot of stuff we want to talk about. Our buddy Jay here has been very active, and so we're going to ask him some questions and hear a little bit about his experience over this past week or so.
Yeah, it's been interesting, hasn't it? We're killing it at Oley Insider, as the kids say, or the kids 20 years ago said, however you want to figure that out.
Yes, I do think that we are killing it. So where do you want to start? I know that you've talked a little bit already about this bill that we have not been tracking, but that kind of caught our attention. And was it 5168?
Yeah, no, it was 5068. But let's give at the top, let's give an update on the bills we have been tracking, because last week and this week, it's all blending together for me right now, but we had action on four different bills that we're tracking, and 5068 kind of became an emergency broadcast in the last episode, and it took away from the EP that you and I were planning together on 1133 and 1113. So I just, you know, we should give a brief rundown on where those are at.
Perfect. Let's do it.
So 1133 and 1113 were both in the same committee, and they saw action at the same time, both in committee and executive session. And so those are HB 1133, HB 1113. So those are House bills that are now in the Senate. And the 1133, which is the SVP, the Sexual Violent Predator Package, if you will, it's got many different metrics to it to try to create a layer of judicial review to permanently incarcerate or not incarcerate, permanently hold these sexual violent predators that have an extreme likelihood of recidivism. That passed. So that passed through the committee in the Senate. And if I'm not mistaken, that is available to the president of the Senate to bring to a vote. The other bill that was heard at the same time, 1113, that's the misdemeanor dismissal bill that's all kinds of confusing. Some have questioned the constitutionality, which isn't new from a lot of these Democrat bills. However, that got stuck in committee. And that went through executive committee with no action. So it's still sitting in an executive session in committee in the Senate. So it looks like that possibly could be dead.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So, you know, I did go back and review this hearing as well. And I thought on the one that was voted on, I didn't hear any nays. Do you recall this as well?
Yes, it's running through the Senate, you might say. And if I'm not mistaken, did they have a companion bill? I shouldn't say that because I'm not sure, but it seems like this bill has been pretty worked over. It is an agency request bill. We've been covering it since the start of Oley Insider. This was requested by the Attorney General. There was a lot of controversy last year in terms of sexually violent predators being released into communities. There is some tightening of the laws around sexually violent predators that this bill adjusts and adds to. So I think this is a bipartisan bill.
Okay, so it does look like it was referred to the Rules Committee. So then from there, I guess we'll wait to see if it heads to the floor calendar.
Yes, yes. I believe when it gets to that stage, just like the House, the President of the Senate can bring it to a floor vote at any time.
All right. So, okay, so that's two of the bills. And then we have a couple updates on the other bills.
Yes, very similar. These two bills, SB 5098, so that's the public guns bill. That's the bill. That's the bill that says no guns in public wherever there's a sign. That has been sent to appropriations in the Senate. So it passed through committee, passed through executive session, and now it's been sent to appropriations. And also SB 5123. We've been covering this one. This is the inclusivity bill. This is the very bizarre bill which adds gender and sexual definitions to protected class for discrimination, people that are already
in schools.
Yes. That also has been sent to the Appropriations Committee, also passed through executive session in the House. So these are two Senate bills that are now in the House, and they are going to be heard in the Appropriations Committee for the House on April 4th, both of those bills.
Perfect. Okay. So April 4th. So now that's for the public hearing?
Yes, I believe there's a public hearing April 4th in the Appropriations Committee. And I'm going to try to back that up, because as we are all just learning, sometimes there's some specifics that Erica and I are not sure on. I want to look it up real quick just to make sure that's a public hearing. So I'm going to go to the legislative website, 5123, for example. And yes, what is it? TVW has it scheduled for April 4th, House Appropriations at 1:30 p.m.
Yes, and I do see it on the legislator's website as well for the same schedule. So perfect. Okay, so if anyone wants to listen in on that, they can go ahead and watch it on TVW.
Yes, absolutely.
And then find all the materials on the legislative website. Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of an update where we're at on those bills that we've been tracking. There's no real opportunity for public engagement.
Okay, but that's okay, because Jay, you have been really active down there in person at the legislature, and we know that they just had this big budget debate the other night, and you were there for that. Is that correct?
The other night, that was today. They went so long. I was at the Capitol in the gallery, going back and forth. I think they were in session three or four times yesterday, and they ended in the wee hours of what would be today's morning as we record. So yes, I was very active yesterday.
So I'm kind of curious, because, you know, there has been some commotion about this whole budget. I've seen a few things on social media. But what was it like for you, being there in person? I mean, was it like, you know, did it seem like things were just moving kind of slowly? Was it, you know, exciting? What was it like?
Oh, it's a good question. And I would encourage anybody to, if they can come to Olympia, if they're close enough, to absolutely take a day, and try to watch the House floor legislature. If you're into the Senate, it seems like this podcast has been a little bit more weighted towards the House side of things this year as we cover the legislature. I spent a lot of time in the House because yesterday there was a bill that I was interested in that I've been watching to see if it comes to the floor. And then they had a budget debates that went into the late night last night. So there was a real mix of things. Yesterday was a very active day, and I was there for it all. And what I will tell you is that it's absolutely fascinating. So on TVW, you can watch, but that lens goes from a tight shot of the speaker to a tight shot of whoever's speaking, like whoever's, you know, creating a motion or speaking on an amendment, that sort of thing. When you go to the when you go to the gallery, you get that full wide open view shot, so you can see people lounging, talking, milling about,
what everyone's doing.
You can see people sneering, you can see people making fun of somebody who's speaking. It's very interesting how comfortable the legislators are, and you can take it in a lot better. And at times, to speak to what you asked about, is at times it does seem performative. It seems that there's an inevitability that is going to occur, and there's almost time wasting just to get to that inevitability. And then, as soon as you start to think that it's all performative, a nugget will drop. Somebody will slip up, say something, or you'll start to understand the underlying philosophy of the two different sides that are battling.
That is quite interesting.
Well, let me give you an example. I'm thinking of something that there was I clipped it for Twitter for folks in Spokane County, because there was a legislator, I can't remember, I think her name's Hill, and she's from, I think, the 3rd legislative district. Don't fact check me on that. And she got up at one point, they were talking about an amendment to not increase. So in the budget, they're going to increase this document filing fee, right? And the Republicans had an amendment to not increase this document filing fee. And the Republicans' point was, this is going to higher education. Higher education has become a glut of administration. We don't need to charge common folks for licensing fees and document recording fees to support this bloated bureaucracy. And it was very interesting and I might be blending a couple, but you're going to get the gist of it. And this representative from Spokane stood up and she started talking about how these are regressive taxes. So in other words, these fees, she acknowledged, were taxes. Then she stated she couldn't wait until they could institute an income tax that would be
unbelievable.
That would be more equitable. And as people may or may not know, I believe it's in our Constitution that we in Washington State, we are not to have an income tax.
That's right. It is in our Constitution. And actually, you know, the capital gains tax that passed a few years ago, that is still in court because that's technically an income tax as well.
That's correct. And even though they kept saying it's an excise tax, all common language surrounding it has slipped into the sphere of income tax. And now here she is salivating on the floor in one of her speeches to create an income tax. And it's all for homeless services, feeding people. Now, here's the interesting part. She slipped up at one point and she said, citizens. She checked herself and she said, and she corrected herself to say residents. You know what? This clip isn't very long. I've already got it because I grabbed it for somebody in Spokane. Let me play that clip for you. Would that be all right?
Let's hear it.
And while we all appreciate this is a regressive tax, this is a system that we have now. And I am excited to hear from my colleagues, both on the Democratic side and the Republican side, about what we really need to do, which is catch up when it comes to our tax code to states like Oregon and institute a state income tax that would tax income fairly across the board. What that would allow us to do is meet the needs of residents across our state, folks who are here, folks who want to come here, so that we have enough to meet those needs, whether it's housing for our homeless residents, whether that's food and food pantries that can feed these folks, and job training so that they can get to a place where they can take care of themselves.
So there you go. You heard it right from the horse's mouth instead of me retelling it.
So I have a couple comments about that. Yes, Oregon has an income tax. but they have no sales tax. We have sales tax. So they what she's saying is they want to tax us on everything, income and sales. You know, it's just endless tax.
That's correct. Now think about it this way. Let's just say she doesn't say it, but of course she would say, of course we'll get rid of the sales tax. So in other words, switch over from a sales tax system to an income tax system, get rid of the sales tax. She slipped up and she says right in it that she's talking not about citizens, but about residents. So people who come here have the services. So then if you switch that over, then, I mean, it's kind of maniacal. And I just want to add this one thing. This concept of citizens versus residents. I keep asking, who are her constituents? Her constituents are citizen voters, correct?
They're supposed to be.
Supposed to be. And now I'm starting to see where our fields of interest, my fields of interest are philosophy and the underpinning motives of parties. You right now have an interest in election integrity and the mechanisms of our representative democracy and how they work. I'm starting to see, and I want to give this one additional point. I was lobbying all day yesterday, trying to catch representatives when they were out milling around off of the floor to talk to them about 5068, something we're going to talk about in just a second, SB 5068. And I caught Sean Scott. He is the proud socialist from Seattle. And when I say that, I'm not speaking in the pejorative. He would identify himself as a socialist. I believe he has in public said that he's a socialist. And I caught him and I politely said, hey, we have an issue where the horseshoe of politics and philosophy will meet up on for what you believe in and what I believe in on the other side, and that's this SB 5068 and workers' rights. And I think that you would agree with me that we don't want to hire foreigners to be law enforcement officers. And he looked at me dead cold in the eye, very politely, and he just says, I don't think we see it the same way. And I was like, okay, yes, sir. You know, There's a modicum of respect that you give. You know, you have to be emotionally mature. I'm not going to go out there and start, you know, hollering at Sean Scott, the socialist Democrat, right? So he's he's an elected representative from his area. But to my point, then who are his constituents? Who are his constituents if his views of socialism don't represent the citizen voters of Washington State, his district? What I'm starting to see the cracks of in here is they consider foreign alien residents, whether they be illegal or legal, they consider them to be their constituents.
Well, and to your point, actually, and I saw something that you had posted on X the other day or yesterday, maybe. That said that you had witnessed someone in a debate claim that illegal immigrants deserve health care because they pay sales tax. So it's along those same lines where they want, you know, they want non-citizens to have all the same rights as citizens and benefits and everything else.
Yes, it's absolutely bizarre. And if you just play through and if you replay what she says, you know, what we're all going to become slaves of the state and we're all going to be happy because the state will take care of everything. It's absolutely bonkers. It's contrary to the concepts of freedom and liberty that our country is founded upon, that our Washington State Constitution protects. And it's bizarre to see it come out so clearly when you go to these floor debates and you hear these the back and forth between members. So that's kind of what I took from that budgetary debate.
Well, thank you for all of that insider information for Oli Insider. So let's see. So do you want to talk more about the 5068? Because I do find this one rather interesting as well.
Yeah, I'd love to. And when we started this podcast, to be clear with folks, is we have definite bills that we're tracking. I think there were 12 that we started with at the start of the show. And we always said that, or if something interesting came up. Well, something just absolutely fell into my lap. It's absolutely a bizarre situation. It was terribly interesting, and I dove in. We just did an emergency pod, I believe it was episode 14, to go back and you want to listen to it, about SB 5068. But that expanded over the last couple days with my work paying attention to the legislature. Yesterday, as I'm waiting for 5068 to come to the floor for debate and a vote, I noticed SB 5209. You're like, oh, well, what's that? Well, 5209 makes it so that LNI has limited law enforcement labeling abilities, authority, limited law enforcement authority. So they were finding, there's many reasons why, you know, since COVID, LNI, but they needed to give LNI limited law enforcement authority. Well, I tell you what, and that passed. That passed through the House, so that's now going to be on the governor's desk, if I'm not mistaken, SB 5209. But for me, after just studying 5068, it sent off all kinds of bells and triggers in my head, because I was just looking into what is limited law enforcement authority. What are these things? So now you're telling me, so 5068, for people that didn't catch episode 14, and I would encourage you to go back and listen because it's important. It creates programs where green card holders and DACA recipients can be police officers and firefighters, basically civil authority. And
so,
also,
quick question,
hang on 1 second, because it's terribly important. Not just green card holders, not just DACA, who are permanent residents, by the way. And I think that there would be a great argument for those two groups. But it also allows legal visa holders, in other words, like these tech companies that hire H-1B visa holders, so that it would allow worker visa programs to come in and work within law enforcement, firefighting, civil authority. And now, apparently, because this bill passed, and now a limited law enforcement authority is LNI. So what? Now we can have LNI workers from Washington State workers, they all get cut for budget cuts. And next thing you know, on the next round of hiring, they bring in temporary visa holders.
Are we sure that this hasn't already been going on?
I'm fairly certain. I don't believe it's legal. It's not legal to have temporary visa holders. The conflation, the confusion is with green card holders and DACA. And that's what's confusing, is why that language is even in this bill. Because they created legislation previously that did allow green card holders and DACA, if I'm not mistaken. Remember, this is Headshot Bro in a podcast studio in Olympia, Washington. So, you know, this isn't a legal scholar with a polymath memory that's speaking here, but I'm pretty sure green card holders and DACA recipients are already eligible within those hiring programs.
Yes.
But it's...
I believe you're absolutely correct.
But it's not legal to set up temporary visa hiring programs. That is not legal, and that's what this law 5068 seeks to do. Just to repeat, because it's terribly important... Let me grab the intro of the bill as it was stated in the original Senate committee hearing. Let me play OPR, Office of Program Research, if that's what it's called on the Senate side. Let me play them reading this bill.
Before you now is Senate Bill 5068 concerning extending employment eligibility for persons legally authorized to work in the United States at certain civil service agencies. In Washington, a person's residency status may affect their ability to work at certain governmental agencies. All general authority and limited authority peace officers must be citizens of the United States or lawful permanent residents. And city firefighters, city police, county sheriffs, and fish and wildlife officers must be either citizens of the U.S., lawful permanent residents, or deferred action for childhood arrival or DACA recipients.
Okay, so right there, he states, just as you eloquently did, what's legal? Permanent residence, concluding DACA, green card, and citizens of the United States. And he goes on.
Lawful permanent residents or green card holders are non-citizens who have the legal right to live in the United States indefinitely. DACA permits certain people who came to the United States as children to defer deportation actions and request work authorizations if they meet certain criteria. And beyond lawful permanent residents and DACA recipients, there are many visas non-citizens may seek which permit them to work in the United States, including a temporary worker visa, a foreign vocational student visa, and a fiancé to a U.S. citizen visa. If enacted, Senate Bill 5068 would permit general authority and limited authority law enforcement agencies, city firefighters, city police, county sheriffs, prosecuting attorneys, and the Department of Fish and Wildlife to consider applications for employment from persons who are legally authorized to work in the United States under federal law.
I mean, it's pretty clear. It is clear. There should be no confusion over what this bill does. And I don't even mention it. Like, we're talking about firefighters. We're talking about police officers. We're also talking about district attorneys, prosecuting attorneys.
Wow. Yeah, that's a very good point. I didn't even think about that.
And it clearly, it gets conflated with green card and DACA recipients because he defines it, but then he lists all the different visa programs that would also fall under this. And now you go and you look at SB 5209, which lists LNI under that general law enforcement authority. And so now they're going to be included in this 5068. And I want to say real quick, so I'm walking around and I'm lobbying. I spoke with Representative Scott, to be polite. I spoke with Representative Parsley out of the 22nd Legislative District. When she asked me what I was seeing her about, we locked eyes. I started discussing it, and I can't remember what she said. She kind of dismissed me and started walking away, and I kind of raised my voice to match, you know, the distance from her to me, you might say, and to try to get my point across. But it seems like she didn't even want to hear it from me. I had a very good conversation with Representative Dolio, also from the 22nd Legislative District. That's my district, in case people are confused. And she will consider it. And she was particularly interested when I mentioned this LNI bill that went through the House that same day. So this is what we have to, this is kind of the next stage, if you will, of activism, is not just showing up and submitting testimony in a committee hearing, which is great, which works well, but you can catch these folks walking around the campus and lobby them. That's what paid lobbyists do. Paid lobbyists set up appointments, they go and see these representatives, and they can catch them in between as they're walking from their offices to the Capitol campus. All right. And as I was hitting rep after rep after rep, I kind of realized, oh, wait a minute, I'm an unpaid lobbyist right now. I'm a lobbyist of the people. So that's my new role. I'm now a lobbyist of the people.
I love it. I think that's a great role for you. But, you know, thinking about it, you know, these people are supposed to be representing us and our interests. So it kind of frustrates me hearing you say that, you know, they'll just walk away from you without, you know, letting you finish your sentence or anything, because these people are supposed to be, we put them there, you know, so that's kind of frustrating to hear that.
I get it, but I give her grace. I was catching her after she had a conversation. I strategically positioned myself to catch her after she was having conversation with probably a six-figure lobbyist in the hallway of the Capitol, and I did not have an appointment. I was catching her between here and there, so these things have to be done with delicacy, decorum, and respect, which brings me to the other thing. When you go to the gallery of the Capitol, it helps not to be a nicotine addict like myself. It helps not to be a fidgeter like myself, because there are rules of decorum in the gallery. And I did avoid yelling, clapping, stomping. I didn't do any of those things. I effectively edited myself. However, I like to stand. I don't like to sit for long times. I like to mill around, and that makes the security very antsy when you mill around and stand in the gallery.
But aren't the representatives doing similar activities?
Oh, but they're the representatives. They're down on the floor. At one point, I stood up and I walked over, and again, or I guess I didn't ever said it, but I was alone. I was virtually alone. So earlier in the day, I stood up. I was trying to get a better vantage point, and I didn't realize it, but somebody was behind me. So they came and said, "Hey, man, you got to sit down. There's people behind you." All right. Totally get it. In the meantime, I would have a conversation, and all of this, very lovely people. I want to say absolutely zero conflict in any of this. I'm just having a good time. At one point, I walked down. I was the only one in the gallery. I walked down, and I stood, and I peered, because Cindy Jacobson, Rep Jacobson, out of the, I don't know, I can't remember right now, district, she was right below me. And so, yeah, I kind of had to get up on my tiptoes and lean over to see her. Oh, they asked me, "Oh no, you cannot do that." And when I had the conversation with them, I was like, "Oh, is it because it could be perceived as intimidating?" And the gentleman was like, "Yep, that's exactly it." So, you know, you have to watch out, because you're there to view, you're not there to participate or interact within the proceedings.
Gotcha. Or yes, I see. Okay.
Now I know we're late, and I hope people have hung on with us, because there is something that I've busted recently that I do want to talk to you about, because you are interested in election integrity. And I know I don't think we've talked about this on air, but I want to talk to you about it. I think this should be known, because I think it's absolutely crazy and ludicrous. Come on.
Yeah, well, let's hear it.
What am I talking about? Lead me in, because you're the one that election integrity folks. Bring it back. This is getting late now in the podcast, so we're getting a little loose, but please, you bring it in.
Okay, so you did inform me, which I find very disturbing, that it appears that some of the representatives are somehow voting, but they're not physically present in, on the floor.
Correct.
So they're absentee voting in the legislature.
Correct. Voting by proxy. Voting by 100%. Don't even get it twisted. I have been there hawking. I pay attention to shit. I'm good at this. And I'm going to name some names. Representative Farvar, about a week ago in this late night session, they went into the wee hours of the morning. She was not there for 2 hours. 2 hours she was not there, not seen on the floor. And I was paying attention because I happen to like Representative Farvar. I find her intriguing. We've covered a couple of her bills. I've grabbed her in committee and spoken to her. Then I've tried to go through her staff and her comm staff, and they've all obstructed, blocked me. I'm on some sort of block list, and I don't know why, because you and I had very favorable and kind coverage of the misdemeanor dismissal bill, which was far of ours. So what I'm trying to say is, there's a logical reason why I was watching for far of our. Okay, of the Democrats, I would say she's one of the Democrats I'm most familiar with in coverage, journalistic coverage. She was not there for 2 hours. Now, an insider, a representative on the Republican side, spoke to me, and I'm not going to say who, because every time he informs, well, go ahead.
So, just really quick, she was not there, but she was voting.
She was voting, correct, on consequential amendments. And just to make this clear for people, there's a vote where they say aye and they all yell. And then there's a vote and they say nay and they all yell, right? And then they call for division. So there's a roll call vote, and that's done by machine. And so when there's a call for division and they want to do a roll call vote, the person has to hit a trigger and vote. And I do not believe, as a citizen of Washington State, that somebody should be able to participate in that roll call vote without being on the floor. That's my personal opinion. Now, this insider, this Republican insider, has told me several times now, as I get upset about this issue, that it is allowed for seatmates to vote for a representative if they are in the building.
Okay, so I understand that that's what you've been told. However, I do not feel that that matches what the rules say on the website.
I'm in agreement, and I don't know if that's from temporary rules, if that's I don't know. If you've listened this long to probably the longest Ole Insider podcast and you want me to track this down, I will hunt it down. And Erica, as a partner, if you'd like me to track it down and hunt it down, find the exact rules and challenge this anonymous Republican legislator who tells me that they can vote for a seatmate. Now, let me also define that really quick. They have desks. These desks seat two members. Every desk seats two members. So apparently it's a seatmate. I will also tell you from hawking and watching the proceedings that I swear to you, there is sometimes I see people get up and vote for somebody else who is not a seatmate. What I'm trying to say is this aye and nay is completely objective. You can't tell who's saying aye or nay and the count. But they have such a majority. Okay, I'll let that pass. But this roll call vote, 100%, is sketchy AF. And I'm telling you, Farvar was not on the floor for 2 hours. I was watching for her. Wasn't milling in the side wings getting coffee. That's an awfully long bathroom session. They do have offices in the Capitol, but I believe Farvar's office is in the John L. O'Brien building. So if she was in her office, that is not in the building. And it bothers me. And I see it a lot. Now, last night I was hawking and I was watching and it was much better. So I was seeing seatmates vote for other seatmates when there was a roll call vote and somebody was milling around. But it's very loose. It's much looser than you would think for a body that has such process, respect for process and procedure, that they call people gentleman and gentle lady, and they require a citizen to take off their hat if they're going to sit in the gallery, right? There's a lot of process and procedure that's followed. You'd think the most important damn thing for what they're there for would have the strictest rules.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%. This is just unbelievable to me. And, you know, because I just, it's hard for me to believe. I need to see it for myself. I think I need to come down there and see it for myself.
And I would encourage people to do so, because I'm telling you, you learn a lot about psychology. I'm active in politics. And after witnessing some things, of viewing in person, I 100% have confidence that I will be participating in campaigning the opposition to a certain legislator. And I became very confident in what is going to take place from viewing and watching the proceedings. You can catch people get up and talk about their child's imaginary dogs, and you know they're happy when the dog's tail wags, right? Just insanity. You can witness the insanity for yourself, and it's just different. It's different when you see it in person versus in video.
Absolutely. Well, that's, I am going to have to come down there. I think everybody should go down there, because we need to see what this clown show is all about, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it, You know, and it is invigorating also. I mean, I did spend, the security guards know me well at this point. Also, I know who the hardest working lobbyist at the Capitol is because I see him every single time I'm there. So I'm to be an Ole insider, I'm also working angles to develop relationships in that regard. So we might get insider information from lobbyists in the future, but it's energizing. I enjoyed the process. I enjoyed being there, learning things. How would I have known about 5209 if I wasn't there to catch it? We have so many bills. And final point as we come upon the 40th minute. I talk about this on Twitter. I talk about the strategy of flooding the zone. Because as you and I have learned doing this podcast, it's difficult to track these bills. You would agree, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we're just doing 12 bills, and at some points it seemed a bit overwhelming from all the action to cover, to do justice to each one. Well, there's over 1,000 bills, and mm-hmm. It seems that flooding the zone has an effect, and that effect is 5068. Every Senate Republican voted to allow temporary visa holders, foreigners, to come in and have lethal authority over citizens of the state of Washington. That's madness. And
that is madness.
And they voted for it. And what I'm saying, is that it's not necessarily, sure, you can blame them. You can say, whoa, dudes, you guys weren't paying attention. But all of that is in the process of flooding the zone with so much legislation, certain specific language that sticks out to me immediately didn't stick out to them. And then 5209, innocuous. LNI needs this authority for whatever they're executing in their official capacity. But then you don't marry that up with 5068 and realize that once that's passed, that now you can have temporary visa programs for LNI too. How many areas of our taxpayer-funded, supported governmental institutions are we going to hire out to foreign workers? Eventually, this, you know, people like me have always said, you know, government's a jobs program, the way we've grown it the last decade. Well, now all of a sudden we're going to outsource our jobs program that we pay for as taxpayers.
You know, so you make a good point. I think that they absolutely are flooding the, you know, flooding the, I guess, the legislature with bills. And I don't know what we can do other than kind of flood it with participation from people. I mean, every bill that's introduced has a purpose behind it, you know, so if we're not paying attention to what their goal is, it's just going to fly right by and we won't even know what hit us.
Correct. Absolutely. It's flooding with participation. So there's more Jay Fratz, there's more Erica Engelharts participating in the process. Remember, I was the only one. I was solo. There was nobody else in the gallery for that late night debate last night on this budget, right? We need more people with eyes on, because we know people that are, you know, they've got certain issues like gun issues. And again, flooding the zone. They had like 4 or 5 gun bills, gun restriction bills this year. And part of flooding the zone strategy is 3 drop off and fade away, get stuck in committee, outrage. 2 end up going through. That's part of flooding the zone. And it's bizarre. I can't stand to see representatives who consider residents their constituents and not voting citizens. And you're only going to see that in lifetime by participating. And the more people we have participating, the more we can catch these bills like 5068 and let our senators know, Hey, staff member, policy guy that works for, let's say, Senator McCune, Senator McEwen, Senator Jeff Wilson. Those are the ones that are around me. Hey, guys, didn't you see this? You're not for this, are you? And spell it out. Because apparently this WASPEC, this Washington Sheriffs and Police Officers or some organization, was for it. So the Republicans just, I don't know, went into robot mode and didn't even care. They just supported it because WASPEC wanted to support it. It's very odd.
Yes, it is very odd. Very, very concerning also. So we need everyone to get involved, start paying attention, and get activated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I appreciate that, you know, somebody in Spokane isn't going to be able to participate like that. But even watching the videos, if you live in Tacoma, if you live in Longview, you know, if you live in Aberdeen, if you live in Eatonville, right? So there's a radius. You know, it's worth your time to go and spend a day at the legislature and watch from the gallery. You know, it's not just watching the sausage get made. You get a lot of information from it. Who's actively participating? Who's lounging around and never getting up to speak, never participating much at all? You know, you see a lot when you go
there. And who's absent for their vote.
And who's absent for their vote, not at their desk. Absolutely. And then you can watch like a citizen journalist that I am and notice, because you and I think a lot of people are concerned about that. If somebody is not on the floor and they are participating in a roll call vote, I think it would be up to the people to say, hey, you can't do that anymore. Who's coming up with these rules? That's loose. That's playing fast and loose with the very reason you are being paid and elected to represent the people.
Yes.
All right, man. Thanks. Thanks for being there. I'm sorry if I went on a lot of ranting monologues, but it's always great to have you participate and just to share some time with you.
Well, you know, I always enjoy it. Hopefully our listeners enjoy it as well. But yeah, thank you for sharing everything you've learned, and I appreciate all the insider knowledge.
All right, we will figure out what the next episode is, and whether we break some news like misinformation in a gun bill or these procedures of roll call voting on the floor. We'll be here for the next episode of Ole Insider. Peace out, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Let us take a step back. And let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Ole Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oleinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X at For the Good. Jay Fratt on X at Jay Fratt, and Positive Intentions Media on X at PubSec Media.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.